Welcome, dear friends. I pray that you and your loved ones are all staying safe. So much craziness going on right now, isn't there? Last week, it was fires, which are sadly still raging, but at least getting more under control. This week, it's Hurricane Laura. Fires and storms historic in magnitude, and all on top of this pandemic. Yes, God has been hearing from me a lot lately. But let's turn to him now as we open with a word of prayer. Dearest Lord, we come to you this day in the midst of a chaotic world like none we've ever seen, seeking your wisdom, your truth, your path for us, and your purpose, even as we pray so hard for those impacted by fires and storms and illness and incredible loss of every kind. Even in these turbulent times, Lord, we know that there is much to be grateful for. And we thank you for all your blessings. May you continue to use us and show us how we may be a blessing to others in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, let's welcome Nathan Drake as he leads us in today's word and song.
Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Let's worship. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. My soul, praise him, for he is thy help and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Praise him in glad adoration. Praise to the desires have been granted in what he ordained. Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy word and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy attend me, ponder anew what the Almighty can do. If with his love he be
lesson today, we continue with Romans 12, where Paul offers some very practical tips to his followers in Rome. Hear God's word. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the master, cheerfully expectant. And don't quit in hard times. pray all the harder. Help needy Christians, be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. You know, I so often hear how loving your enemy all sounds, you know, really nice, but totally unrealistic and impractical. I mean, how does anyone really do that? Go buy your enemy lunch, get him a drink? I mean, why would anyone want to be kind and loving to someone who clearly doesn't deserve it? It kind of reminds me of a story King Duncan tells about a young soldier who was utterly humiliated by his senior officer. The officer went way and beyond the bounds of acceptable behavior in disciplining the young man, and he knew it. So he said nothing as the young soldier clenched his teeth and said, "I'll make you regret this if it's the last thing I ever do." Well, a few days later, their company was under heavy fire. And the officer, he was wounded and he was cut off from his troops. Through the haze of the battlefield, he surprisingly saw a figure coming to his rescue. It was the young soldier. At the risk of his own life, the young soldier dragged the officer to safety. And the officer said apologetically, "Son, I owe you my life." And the young man laughed and he said, "I told you I'd make you regret humiliating me if it was the last thing I ever did." Oh, wow. Well, the early church was clearly struggling with all kinds of issues about how to get along, how to really live out Christ's teaching. And we have a lot to learn from their teacher, Paul. And among those lessons, run from evil and hold on to what is good. Second, don't burn out and don't quit. Pray harder. Third, get along. Don't be stuck up and don't be the great somebody. Be willing to play second fiddle. And then don't hit back. Find the good in others and let God do the judging. And finally, surprise your enemy with kindness. As we look closer, it's interesting to see how much of it is about managing our emotions, especially related to anger. There was once a Hungarian refugee years ago who was very successful as a young attorney in Hungary before the uprisings in that country back in 1956. He was a strong believer in freedom for his country. And he fought Soviet tanks in the streets of Budapest with his friends. And then when the uprising failed, he was forced to flee his country. And so he came to the United States. And when he arrived in the US, he had no money, he had no job, no friends. He was, however, very well educated. He spoke and wrote several languages, including English. And for several months, he tried to get a job in a law office, but because of his lack of familiarity with American law, he only received polite refusals. So it finally occurred to him that with his knowledge of language, he might just be able to get a job with the import-export company. And so he found such a company. He wrote a letter to the owner. And 2 weeks later, he received an answer, but it wasn't exactly the one that he was expecting. because it was very, very harsh. Among other things, the man replied that even if they did need someone, they wouldn't hire him because he couldn't even write good English. Well, crushed, the young man's hurt quickly turned to anger. What right did this rude, arrogant man have to tell him that he couldn't write the language? The man was obviously crude and uneducated. His letter was chock full of grammatical errors. He sat down, and in the white heat of his anger, he wrote a scathing reply, calculated just to rip the man to shreds. When he'd finished, however, as he was reading it over, his anger began to just drain away. And then he remembered the biblical admonition, "A soft answer turneth away wrath." He decided that he wouldn't mail that letter. Maybe the man was right. English was not his native language, after all. And maybe he did need to study it further. Maybe, just maybe this man had actually done him a favor by making him realize that he needed to work harder on perfecting his English. So he tore up that first letter and he wrote another. And this time he apologized for the previous letter, explaining his situation, and he thanked the man for pointing out his need for further study. 2 days later, he received a phone call inviting him to New York City for an interview. A week later, he went to work for them as a correspondent. Later on, believe it or not, he became vice president and executive officer of the company, all set to succeed the very man who had made him so angry and wanting revenge. And thankfully, he resisted. And what a payoff. Well, I know that my own worst failures and deepest regrets pretty much involved losing my temper, standing up for myself, or so it felt at the time. And while I'd never sought revenge, really, each angry response solved nothing, and it only led to major regrets. I mean, to this day, I am still haunted by an ugly incident with a previous staff member. We typically got along pretty well, but one day I felt she really crossed the line when she referred to me with the B word. I mean, I was really furious and I felt totally disrespected. I mean, I was her boss. And even if you're joking, you don't call your boss the B word. I mean, I really lost it with her. And it led to an ugly series of reactions between us with everything going rapidly downhill. And it wasn't until one day when she appeared to be having a heart attack and I insisted on taking her to the ER that we were finally able to mend fences. As it turned out, it wasn't a heart attack, but that ER visit resulted in a lung cancer diagnosis. We healed our division, but to this day, I still remember sitting by her bed in the hospital just before she passed, telling her how much I loved her, how sorry I was, and with a heart still of regret. We were very different people, and we had a number of disagreements over the years, but we also accomplished a lot together when we found ways to work as a team, listening with respect, working for a bigger good, and it breaks my heart to this day that I wasted even a moment in anger and resentment. As it sounds, that outburst was in part the result of a lifetime of actually suppressing my anger, because I'd always been told, you know, that it was bad to be angry. And I was taught that even feeling anger was wrong. Part of my outburst was because I'd only recently learned a very different but very vitally important lesson about anger, namely that anger's like the red light on your dashboard. It's a warning, and we need to pay attention to it. We just can't ignore it. But we also have to maintain our self-control. Anger can cause harm if we ignore it or if we act out. But when it's handled properly, it can also be a gift. But we need to pay attention. We need to address it in a healthy way. We need to let go, and we need to turn it over to God. In fact, as we all see things differently, it's always going to be that way. As Billy D. Strayhorn shares, it's like the story of a minister, a geologist, and a cowboy who were all getting their very first view of the vastness of the Grand Canyon. As the minister approached the viewing rail, he was heard to say, "Wow, this has to be one of the most beautiful examples of the handiwork and glory of God." The geologist was equally stunned, and he commented, "Wow, what a wonderful example of the creative process of nature, all outlined before your very eyes in the various strata." And meanwhile, the cowboy, he just shook his head and said, "Can you imagine trying to find a lost steer in there?" People definitely see things differently because we're all different. And that's a good thing. That's a blessing. But we can't let those differences be weaponized to do harm. Right now, we're going through an incredibly difficult time. And Paul's words were never more needed, never more true. We need to love from our center while running from evil. We need to keep ourselves fueled, and we can't quit. We need to bless even our enemies and not let evil get the best of us. For we will only overcome evil by doing good. May God give us understanding, and let's take a moment of prayer. Dearest Lord, we confess that in spite of good intentions, we have sinned against our neighbor. Forgive us, we pray, and show us the way of humility and reconciliation. Empower us to turn away from our anger, refrain from hurtful words, lay down our weapons, and embrace our brothers and sisters with love and compassion. Let us grow so strong in our love for you and one another that your name will be glorified in all the world. Teach us on this day to follow the way of love, which you revealed to us through your Son, Jesus. Through your Spirit, unite us to be one in Christ. Amen. My friends, the struggle continues. And in spite of our good intentions, we fall short. We fail. We sin. But we have the good news. The good news that in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Never doubt for a moment that you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now let's continue with our prayers with Jill Duffield.
Lord, we are here. Perhaps not unlike Jesus' first disciples, we come to you a little fearful, a little scattered. Grateful for our encounters with the risen Christ, but troubled and unsure about what to do next. As we continue to worship in our separate spaces, we long to be together, gathered in your home, brought to the places you prepare for us. In our anxiety over the duration of this pandemic, and in our worries about the many and long ramifications of this trying time, we want desperately to believe in you and believe in Jesus. We pray for an outpouring of your Spirit. Send the Comforter, our Advocate, to show us the way, remind us of the truth, and grant us abundant life. Lord, we have questions. We know there are lessons we should know well but cannot seem to recall. We feel upended by so much change and so little control. We confess that there are commandments of Jesus that we remember but struggle to keep. We need to be honest about our misgivings and our doubts. Confident that you will love us to the end and despite our failings, we share with you all that troubles our hearts. We are troubled, by the mounting deaths caused by COVID-19. We are troubled by the growing numbers of lost jobs and economic turmoil. We are troubled by our inability to be close to the ones we love when they need us the most. We are troubled by children missing out on their education, those who wonder when they will next eat, those with no place to find shelter. We are troubled by the people wrestling with addiction, those suffering from mental illness, and those languishing in loneliness. We are troubled by pain within and without, by the violence inflicted on the innocents, the cruelty perpetrated on the vulnerable, the scarcity that belies your generosity and abundance. Lord, we come to you, aching to be given a place to rest and a space to set our burdens down. We come to you because we believe in you, your grace, your mercy, your compassion, and your power. You promise us spaces of rest, inexplicable peace, joy not dependent upon our circumstances. In you we find our home. You set us free to do your work in this world. Grant us the courage to name how we feel, lament what we see, and then turn us toward the people who need their hearts put at ease. Make of us living stones who create buildings of relief, shelters of compassion, tabernacles of mercy. Lord, we boldly ask to follow you so closely that others will come to know you and believe in you through our work and our witness. May our faithful discipleship ease our troubled hearts and perpetrate the love of the one in whose name we pray, our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Dear friends, these are challenging times, absolutely no doubt about it. And you're going to hear me saying over and over, God is with us and God will bring us through it. But here's my suggestion. I'd bookmark today's lesson from Paul to the Romans. Those are tips that can help us to get through everything that we're facing, help us to stay the course, and help us to be faithful to God's teachings. I pray that you will feel God's presence every day and every moment, and that you'll be strengthened by all that we're going through. And now may you go in God's love, God's strength, God's mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen, and God bless you.